The following is a teaching by Thamo Naidu. Thamo provides oversight to the Gate Global Family of Churches and is the founder and senior elder of Gate Ministry Sandton, Gauteng, South Africa. His ministry calls the church to return to accurate biblical patterns and to raise up the sons of God to represent Christ in the earth.
So let's proceed with this discussion, and I'm sure it will also continue in the evening. We're receiving a lot of questions, but some of it I think are being answered. I want to at least give some framework to the discussion that we are having here. We've distinguished with some clarity now that the office of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher is a calling and a gift from God. We've also established that calling can be affirmed or confirmed through witnesses, which includes prophets. And sometimes it may not even be a prophet, it could be a child telling you that you're a prophet. Just God could use anybody to confirm that calling. Am I correct in saying that? Yeah, it could be an encounter with God, it could be a vision, it could be a dream. Even though that has to be affirmed and given recognition of. So when we talk about ordination, we're talking about giving public recognition to the call of Christ upon your life in that particular office. And that's when the church publicly sets you apart and says that we recognize you to function in this office for the glory of God. There's been a lot of, and I want to say this, so a lot of ordinations that have been inaccurately, unbiblically, and illegally done to affirm certain people based on their, on certain works that they have accomplished, but not on certain graces and giftings that's resident within them. For example, I could have a huge network and never be called to be an apostle. And I could build multiple buildings and leave an enterprise for myself and never be an apostle based on the requisite graces that determines that. So it's not works as in what you've accomplished that makes you an apostle or whatever. So we, and in this context, would have to make sure that we understand what are some of the features of the callings, the graces that are very distinct to the persona of those individuals who exhibit or function in this office. And I think we've already done some of that. But I want to situate this before we take this conversation further. And I think it's important to do that, otherwise we're going to go in circles here. I'd like to think that the prophet of the new covenant can learn from the prophet of the old covenant. But the prophet of the new covenant is more than a prophet, like Elijah is. As in John the Baptist, more than a prophet. Something that we need to think about. The Old Testament prophet was called from various fields of life. Not all of them were called from the priesthood or whatever, but from different, some were farmers, some were herdsmen, etc. But one of the qualifications of a prophet in the Old Covenant was they had to know the Torah. Their first principal gift was that they had to know the law of Moses, its regulations its stipulations, its commands, and all the fundamental principles of the law. Because their first point of reference was not to see. Their first point of reference was to know. If they did not know the law, they had no standard by which to measure whether people lived in accordance with God or did not live in accordance with God. So they couldn't just through foreseeing, future telling, come to people and say, God told me he's going to judge you. They had to first see whether the people were living by the word of God, and the word became the standard. So in many cases, the prophet was a custodian of the law of God, a protector of the law, and a prosecutor of the law. If you did not live by the law, then you didn't even have to see a vision. You can make a common sense decision, judgment will come. The only problem was, and this is where I saw the prophets to be very peculiar, they knew judgment would come, but they wanted to know how it would come. And that's where future telling, prophetic sight, a vision into the future or into what God was going to do would come to them to tell them that because you betrayed certain laws, the judgment will come in the form of a drought. God will withhold rain, or it will come in the form of locusts attacking you, or it will come in the form of a foreign army attacking you, or it will come in the form of a plague that will kill so many of you. Based on the fact that you violated a law, this is what will happen. And some of them, like Jeremiah, will tell you how long it will happen, 70 years, etc. And during that time, he will also tell you, based on the information received from the Lord, using Jeremiah here, that while you will go into captivity, God in his mercy will still make you successful there. So the thoughts God has for you is for your future, for your prosperity, etc. What's that? Jeremiah 29:11, is it? Yeah. So that was in Babylon, not in Israel. That was not in Israel. So while you are prosperous in exile, God will prosper, buy houses, build your businesses. But after 70 years, give up your houses, give up your businesses, you're coming back. Okay, that was the prophecy. So can we presume that if we are moving now into a dimension of more excellent, more than, that all prophets should have a very clear understanding of what the Word of God is? Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So they should be good students of the Word. And you have already alluded to it, that you should be submitted to the doctrine of an apostolic oversight, because that doctrine will frame and govern you. Why am I saying this? Because, I don't know, my observation is that many prophets are very weak in the Word of God. They would rather spend hours telling each person what their personal prophecy is, but they would not teach you the things of God. And I'm not talking about personal prophecy here, but most prophets end up telling personal prophecies instead of giving a word for the age, for the time, for the nation, for direction, based on the consequences of moving away from the Word of God, etc. So I think we must add this to the gift and calling of a prophet, that he should know the Word of God. He should understand the Word in the context of how it should be applied to the time that we are living in. Do you want to add to that?
Yeah. There's an aspect in the prophetic that we are aware of, and therefore we have prophetic schools. And that is, the spirit is subject to the prophet. Now, if I can explain that, and I'll come back to doctrine. The prophetic is open-ended. God speaks. And according to the grace configuration of the prophet, He would hear in certain dimensions, in certain jurisdictions, every one of our abilities, every one of our ways of hearing, and the emphasis of our hearing can differ. But meaning that the Spirit of God speaks. And now what needs to happen is that the prophet need to discern what he is hearing or seeing. The language of the Holy Spirit is a picturesque language. It's dreams, it's visions. But also when we prophesy to an individual, you come before an individual, when you come before a congregation, when you come before a house and you want to speak, you have an impression. You have to interpret the impression. You have a picture. You have to interpret that picture. And the way that your mind is shaped will influence the way that you interpret the picture. You might see a video. You might see a behavior around an individual. So it has to do with this. Knowledge is, tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is, never to use it in a fruit salad. You understand? That's how it works. It tastes horrible, but it's a fruit.
No, not in Bulgaria. In Bulgaria, they use tomato for everything. I come back from Bulgaria looking like a tomato. I know my name is Tamo, but not tomato.
So now your doctrine make you to understand certain things in a certain way. And therefore, from there, you will interpret your pictures and the way that God will talk to you, and you will verbalize then that what you see. Now, similar thing that we have today, is now rapture supposed to be. We're still here. This is a problem. This is an irritation.
Let me qualify that there's a singer, I don't know who he is, who prophesied, a Christian person, that the rapture would have taken place. And he'll be watching us from the clouds. So some of you are left behind. Yeah.
What I wanted to say is that because of the doctrine, the shaping of the mind with the doctrine, he would prophesy that and stand for that. There are hundreds of people saying this. It's not just him. There are hundreds. And they are convinced and convicted. The problem is, 5-6 years ago, some of these people, exactly the same people, said exactly the same thing for a different date. The same people is going to come forth again 5 years from now, exactly with another date, with another explanation, because their doctrine don't change. And unless their doctrine change, they still prophesy whatever they believe in. So I'm using that now as an extreme example, but the way we understand the scriptures is how we would speak forth over a house. When you have an impression of a house, I'm talking about a household of faith, and if your doctrine is skewed, you might come and impose your skew mind and interpret that. Now, prophetic word has the ability to exhort, but prophetic word can propel you. It can shoot you beyond the place where you are. Extremely powerful. Prophetic word can create something out of nothing, bring certain things through grace into existence. So for me, that's just an irritation, because on the moment, it is not conducive to be a prophet. We do not have a good name in the earth. Am I right? And for reasons coming out of your nation.
Excuse me, I belong to his nation. It's called the Holy Nation.
Okay. All right, your earthly nation that you descend from. But so, because of prophetic words that were spoken, and certain individuals that needed to be president and eventually did not come. But we gather now and then, speak, and we gathered and we had an impression that will not happen. And we said among one another, it's no go. We discern it's not going to happen. But we didn't make it public. We didn't go out and make it public and trying to pull attention to ourselves in terms of that. And then it happened. He says, yes, we knew. Then when the second time came, when we looked at the matter again, we said, okay, we think it's going to go this way. So, but we cannot speak these things anymore publicly. I think I'm going in an area that I don't need to go into now. All right, sorry.
I think that is important for us to understand that if you are not grounded in the word and doctrine, that you operate out of a familiar spirit. It is not prophecy, it's psychic frequencies. And many people, we have to stop approaching the prophets as if we are psychics. Build relationship. Let the prophet pick up the frequency. The prophet is one whose function reveals the heart and the mind of the Father. And the way that we discern the heart of the Father is studying the book. And many people are guilty. I mean, some people have never heard of a Huldah or some of the prophets within the text. They've not studied certain books. You must study the book from the front to the end so that you may discern the patterns and the frequencies of God, the wind of God. And Cobus is correct that we started this nonsense, but Africa is perpetuating it. I thought I would get that in.
And that's quite true. If America sneezes, we get the cold. Yeah. Because of the influence they have. They're an amazing nation. The symbol of the nation is that of the eagle and the lion in some respects. Yeah. They have a governmental grace, and if it is not stewarded, it can influence people in a negative way. Any apostolic nation for that sake. And that's why we have to be so prudent. So let's close this. I know Sean wants to comment here, but let's close it by saying this. That no matter what your dream, your vision, your perspective is, that word that you receive must be confirmed by a more sure word of prophecy, which is the word of God. God's word is prophetic. And the word prophetic, let me emphasize what the word prophetic means. Prophesy or prophetic means to speak forth the mind, counsel, or words of God. Whatever you speak must be God's counsel or God's word to his people. That's why lips are anointed with coals of fire. That's the principle of Isaiah. So, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables. 2 Peter 1:16. When we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, if that statement cannot be found in the whole of the Old Testament, cancel that voice. If you can't find a scripture to back that, it is a false prophecy. Now, you can find many scriptures where God said, this is my Son. Embrace my Son. Behold my Son. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well receive to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first principle, first in time, first in state, first in condition, first in position. That word there, proton, protos, is a very powerful word, as in how you become a successor of a word, how you receive the word. And it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture or interpretation of something that twists the scriptures is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This must be cast in stone. So you have to know the scriptures. You have to verify it in the scriptures before you share a word of prophecy. Is that understood?
Yeah.
It's very important to do this. That's why when the prophet comes to my church to share personal prophecies, which is not his main job. For me, personal prophecies is like your sideshow. It's so easy to do it when you operate in this gift. Like my sideshow could be that I'm an apostle. I can go into a house, I can just smell things that's wrong. I mean, I can see through a person. I don't know how God's given me. I go to Merle and I say, I think I'm being over judgmental. Then a couple minutes later, it's confirmed. I can see, I mean, it's just my gift. I can see cracks in the foundation. I can see dysfunctionality, even though it looks perfect. It's just a gift in me. Just a gift. Same with these guys. They don't have to be in the spirit. They'll tell you who you are. They'll read your mail. It's just normal for them. But for me, that's a sideshow. The main show is, can they bring a word that will give direction to a house, a whole house? Because in that word for the whole house, each member becomes a beneficiary of the prophecy. So if a prophecy is released to Thamo Ye and Santon, every member of my house that knows how to connect to it will enjoy the benefits that will drop upon their businesses, their careers, and so forth. So you don't need a personal prophecy, even those times the prophets will call you and give you something to give you, to define your steps more in terms of the law, which is the word of God to you. Are you understanding me in that context? But I tell people, if they say to me, I'm going to nations, that means we all are going to nations in different ways. That's not the Gate family and GMS. So, but it has to be verified. So I would stand when a private prophecy comes, I'll ask my elders to stand and walk next to the prophet. And if we don't think that prophecy is right, we cancel it immediately. Or we tell them to park it off until we tell them when it's going to be right. Sometimes we can miss it because people have lost their jobs, they gave up their businesses, some of them even changed their wives over a prophecy because they misinterpreted it. I'm serious about this. At the end of the day, we have to adjudicate over all things, because if you don't test the wine, your people will get consumed by poison. All right, let's get back, Sean.
Okay, I hope that you begin to see the responsibility that comes with this office. If it depended upon me, I would have never wanted this. I told the Lord many times, I don't want this. I just want to be an ordinary person. But there comes a lot of responsibility with the office. There's a process to the prophetic. It's not just a flash of revelation on the spot and you prophesy. true prophets would have a process that they engage. For instance, there is the conception of the word within your spiritual womb. There is the germination of that word, the seed of that word in your spiritual womb. Then there's the whole process, the gestation of the word, from the beginning, the developmental process of the word, which includes thought, consideration. You analyze, you relate the prophetic word back to historical biblical templates to see whether you can extract out from the 66 books examples of what you have heard. Then there's prayer, there's analysis, and then there's the birth. That's when you give the word. Sometimes that process would take sometimes 3 weeks before you would release the word. Because of the responsibility of what you must give to people, it can alter their lives. If you have not received it from the Lord, then you can cause a disintegration of people's lives. So it's very important then that prophets go through these processes. I just want to relate one example of how doctrine crafted the prophetic in my own life. In the past, the charismatic prophet would have a prayer line. He preaches for 10 minutes and he prophesies for 3 hours. Have you experienced that? In the apostolic, that's different. In the apostolic, the charismatic prophet wanted to establish an individual believer into his gifting and function within a local house. I have found that the apostolic prophet has got a more broader context within which he speaks. He first wants to understand the movements of God within the nations globally. And that's why there is the connection with apostolic doctrine that leads you into understanding the playing field has broadened out. It's no longer just here, but it's now global. And their prophetic words wants to establish the entire body of Christ into its prophetic purpose within the global arena. That's very different. And an example is that when the Father-Son teaching came out, it really sculptured something for me prophetically, in that I would not give a prophetic word to an individual within a local household. I will not bypass the father of the house, because the identity of the sons and their inheritance is connected to their father. So I would single out, when I go to a house, the father and the mother of the house, give them the prophetic imperatives in which sons will identify their own callings. Because whatever is given to the father belongs to the sons. So I don't need to give you a personal prophecy unless the Lord shows you to me. But I will release the word to the father of the house, and he then would administrate that word for the entire household, and sons find their relevance to that word within what was given to the Father. That's how it began to sculpture my understanding. And then I just want to end by giving a few things, because Pastor Thamo asked, how does this office now, what's the difference between the function of the prophet and the apostle? Just a few things that the Lord, I jotted down here. In the calling of Jeremiah, he had to do fundamental things. He's going to uproot. He's going to tear down. He's going to pull down. He's going to destroy. That's remedial. I think that's a remedial work. And then he has to build and he's got to plant. That's establishment. You can't just pull things down, break things down by being judgmental in your prophetic expression. But you got to build up. You got to establish. And when we are judgmental, it is not going to come to judge people brutally, but it's going to be covered within the love of the Father. It's not going to, God is not in the business of revealing somebody's sin. as we put it. Because it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. So God is not in the business of exposing people publicly. If the Lord shows me there's something drastically wrong in somebody's life in terms of moral behavior, I would go to the father of the house and say, the Lord showed me that individual. If you would love me to speak to him or in your presence give this word, would you allow me to do it? So there's protocol. You can't just, you know, shoot roughshod over the congregation. You can't do that. Now, for me, the prophet, the office of the prophet, we would like to see change even in the social strata of society. Change come based on the fundamental of God's throne, which is righteousness and justice. The prophet loves to see the standard of the throne worked within the entirety of the earth. Prophets also who denounce religious hypocrisy, as John the Baptist did with the Pharisees. Who told you of the coming wrath? Why don't you bring fruit in keeping with your repentance? So there's also prophets also speak governmentally over the territories of the earth, because prophets are very, they love to intercede. We have started what we call a governmental prayer school with the specific idea that we need to embrace apostles and the function that they have been tasked with by the Lord, and that it is our business to governmentally prepare and speak over their lives, cover their families. Long before they would go into a nation, we've already prayed for Apostle Thamo, for Maroland, for Dr. Saggy, for we pray for all the apostles so that they can go knowing that when they go, they don't even know that we are praying, but that's part of what we do. So governmental decrees are being made to speak over the territories into which they are going to go. So it means then that you need to also know what is the schedule of that person, and where they, in which nation are they going to be? What are the structure of that nation? So those are all things that prophets do. And then just another thing, they also turn inertia in the building process. When the building process doesn't kickstart, prophets would also speak. And then the last thing that I have also learned by sitting in the apostolic schools is that true prophets would also extract from the Logos as a base out of which they speak. I call them historical biblical templates that we go back into. You go and study a similar issue that once happened in history, and you extract out of that and make it essential truth for our speaking to the body of Christ today. So that your speech is not absent from the Logos, but it is based out from the 66 books. And you bring the Rhema to line up with the Logos before you release a word. So these are very, very important imperatives before you just release a word. It's not just getting a flash of information and then you speak it. But that process is vitally important for prophets to walk by. And then, of course, the issue is to stay close to the doctrine, study the doctrine, hear what is being ministered, and then look at that and see how can we adjust what we do as prophets.
Can you see the order that comes now? Before it was disorder. You know, there was no respect for protocol in a corporate environment or in the culture of a house. But now you can see how, and this is the predominant grace of the apostolic. The number 12 means order, structure. And you'll see the number 12 in creation. And the number 12 is an ordinal number in how we measure time. Time, you know, 12 hours in the day, 12 hours in the night, 24 hours to a full day-night period, 12 months in the year. at 12 foundations, 12 steps to the throne, 12 gates, 12 walls. You know, the number 12 is 12 apostles, and you can find the number 12 in so many things. And the principle is that one of the graces coming back to the church presently is governance through order. So even the prophets now, while they can flow in the Spirit, I mean, these three are so different, the styles. Sean has become very articulate in terms of penning down, and the same with Anthony. I mean, the other guy, he's got Afrikaans, he mixes it a bit and all that. But, you know, and then Anthony sometimes will break out singing. He can't sing, but he sings. But, I mean, it's fine. It's fine, because that's how we should be, ourselves. But there's order. You understand what I'm saying? In the past, we'll just kick the chairs, jump around, act weird, and then expect the people that are more educated to accept what we're saying, and they get confused. But now they're seeing, the Spirit is subject to the prophet. So the object is the Spirit, the subject is the prophet, and if the subject is weird, the Spirit also has to just let him go wild. But the prophet can't submit himself, and that's the order that's coming back now. And I want to emphasize that order, order. And order includes respect, time consciousness. You know, you can give a word by reading three chapters, or you can give that word in one paragraph. It's how you pack it. And all of that is so important in this present season of the prophetic administration. Let's go to Kubus.
With my local house, I would be in my local house. I'm the father of my local house. I shepherd my house. We will have a new member in the house, and after a year, somebody will say, you know, this guy is a prophet. They says, what? And then in 1 year, we had no prophetic word in the house. I didn't prophesy over the house because I don't prophet my house. I father my house. Then somebody would come and say, would you come to our congregation? Would you come to our household and come and do a prophetic administration there? Then it would go, and then I will switch. When I switch it on, or I just tap into it, then I say, well, Father, what are you saying about this house? And then I'm able to get a word for that house. But then I want to root that word in doctrine, and give them the doctrine around the prophetic word. Then when I'm in the house, because the Spirit is subject to the prophet, I will ask the Lord, okay, they ask me for individual prophetic words. Then I say, okay. I then ask the Spirit deliberately, what is their gifts? Where do they fit into this house? Where is the elders? Who is called? Who is stuck? Who is slumbering? I want to strengthen the hand of the father of the house. So I'm telling him that he's going to get a new car or the Mercedes or this or that. I'm deliberately asking the Spirit for where do they fit into the configuration of that house, and then speak towards that. Plus, then I ask the Spirit, bring mobility to the word. That means if we prophesy, this person has the capacity of an elder. He wants to now start doing something. So the pastor of the house have work to do, and he has now to get these people into the right places or help them wherever they need to. When we go into the nations, and God will permit us to go into a nation where we will speak to leaders, and now we have to conform the mind of leaders out of the Pentecostal season into an apostolic season, there then, I study Thamu carefully. I would, many times when I have the privilege to travel with him, I study him. The Holy Spirit show me, this is what he does, this is where to go, and this is what he does. Check that, check that. Sometimes I can see how, especially in Dominican Republic, how the dragons will stand over him, trying to consume him. and he's just standing there and maneuvering them and do what he needs to do. And when we come into difficult situations where we will come then into the nations, the Spirit reminded me, all right, remember Thalma tell you, the guy started to sleep, just speak the word. And now with Thalma, two or three sessions, they wake up. With us, for me, 3 days, 4 days, they wake up. So the challenge is to grow in our spiritual stance that we... But what I'm trying to say is I learned from him, his apostolic way of doing. Do you understand? Maneuvering in the nations. How we will go here, how we will go there. What happened? Take a prophet friend with me. And this guy, every moment of the day, tells you this is what the Lord is saying, this is what the Lord is doing. Went into a situation, we're bringing the word, and the heavens are brass. You hear nothing, you see nothing. He says, what is the Lord doing? What is the Lord doing? I says, don't worry. I tap in, I immediately know what to do. Talmud taught me. He says, Thalquibus, speak the word. Went out with the word, and I just bring the word. A couple of sessions later, I don't need to find out by myself. He's just like an alarm. He says, wow, we broke through. Now we need to do this. Now we need to do that. I says, I'm tired. You can go and do it now. So what I do then is I use apostolic grace. I use apostolic doctrine. I speak doctrine from a prophetic perspective. The way I would do it is different than Thalma. He's much more intensive than I am, but I break it up the same way he does. In that environment, I have to do it as a prophet. I then draw that. I will break the word open. I will cut it open. I will put it on the table. And then, not long from then, lights will go on. So, if I would try to prophesy and declare and decree, and I have tried it, blown shofars and flags and jumping, shouting and walking around and doing whatever prophets wants to do, doesn't work. It does not move. My personal experience is that the prophetic grace on its own cannot move powers and principalities. I had certain encounters in my nation, in our church, where we saw how we tried it. We had prophetic schools, extremely effective. Just when we touched the apostolic season, apostle will walk in there, speak, not even take up an offering, but people give, the heavens is open. And the next moment he would leave, we would dance like a bunch of blow our sofas, a kudu horn, humiliate ourselves, and the heavens just close. We've got to get him back. He comes back, helps us again. He had to come back three times in 1 year. Now, then we saw the prophetic grace is spiritually, from my perspective, to light in the pans to move the powers and the principalities. So we studied the word, tap into relationship, draw the grace. And as I started to do that, took me a couple of years. Now I can keep the heavens open. Now if I go into a nation where God will send me, I use the apostolic doctrine, but I bring it different. I bring it from a prophetic perspective. But I use the same doctrine to be able to shift the heavens, open the heavens up for in that environment where I am. Does it make sense?
I want to share something here. I think this is a very important point to make. The new covenant is very interesting. The ministry of the prophet is almost absent. Maybe a Silas and Agabus. Very seldom you get legitimate answers or pictures in terms of how the prophets operate, which does not imply that there are no prophets. Then the cessationists will be quite happy with us. But in the new covenant, And we know there's references to apostles and prophets. Some will tell you that apostles, that the church is being built up on the apostles and prophets. They will interpret it to mean that the 39 books of the Old Testament are the 39 books referred to as the prophets, because they were written mainly by prophets, including Moses, who was also called a prophet. And that the 27 books of the New Testament was written by apostles. So they will argue for a scriptural purview of that. But the reality is, in the New Covenant, God appointed apostles first. And Elijah must come first. And Elijah was more than a prophet. What I began to see is, and please, I say this respectfully, I am not against what has been done by church movements in the past. The church has been sending out missionaries to change the world. And we've done it for a large part of church's history. And I'm sure the missionaries have done a phenomenal job, because many people have been saved in different parts of the world. But unfortunately, it's not saved the nations and brought it into the kingdom of Christ. And I've been asking questions and obviously deliberating with God over these questions. I have these conversations with God. Why is that possible? And he said to me, before I sent the 70, I sent the 12. And yes, I sent them to different jurisdictions. And he said to me, apostles have a governmental ambassadorial grace. The word apostle, the Hebrew word for apostle is two words that tries to capture the Greek word apostole. Apostole, apostle, means one who has been commissioned by the king to represent the king in a foreign land. He has letters from the king to annex that land on his behalf and bring it back to its original domain. And there are beautiful imageries of it. An apostle, if you study the Greek picture of how they from their island would travel to annex other countries, the apostle would be in the first ship, leading a fleet of ships in that formation, and he would be at the head. And he had to go ahead to puncture away, pioneer away, plow away, irrigate away, fight away for the rest of the fleet to come. And each one in the fleet will be skilled workmen, specialists in different fields that will determine how a domain will be not only annexed but ruled. So it is in that context, there is an innate authority upon a true apostle. That's why I'm against the title apostle used by people if they don't have the authority. It's not, I don't care what you call yourself. That's not the point. I don't care whether you like your status. The point is that if it does not move the purposes of God in a region, then how did they put it in the book of Judges, in the book of Kings? Somebody that whose axe head has fallen off. In other words, you got the handle but not the axe. You're hitting away at a tree but you can't kill it, because you don't have the cutting edge. That's why I'm so harsh on the idea that we have to raise, that the Holy Spirit has to expose the true apostles. So what I've seen is that in the early church, the apostles went first. And one of the exceptions was that Philip, who was a deacon, chose to go into Samaria without the apostles going first. He caused a mighty revival, but when the apostles heard it, they pulled him out. They literally pulled him out. And they went, and we heard two words the other day. Who read it for us? It's Sean. Strengthen and establish. They went to establish churches. You have to go and study that word. It means to go and... So when an apostle went, he went into a region, whether it was by the riverside, in a synagogue, a temple, whether it was to a man that was possessed by a legion of demons, like the chief apostle Christ. When they went into a region, they first disarmed the principality. They didn't use prayer warriors. They didn't use intercessors. We got it all wrong today. They didn't use all these crazy people who got no covering to bind demons. That's why they suffer from dementia, from disorganized, I mean, just mental illnesses. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen this happen, dysfunctional marriages, and so forth. Because they're touching this dimension that they have no authority to touch. Okay? So the apostles went and neutralized the principality. I mean, Sean and I had a very interesting experience. Sean and I, we did a lot of traveling together. We traveled to Alaska at the very beginning. God said, go to the ends of the earth. We did a conference right in the bottom of New Zealand. Richard and them will remember those days. And we also went to the north, to the extreme end, to Alaska. I spoke about Leon on Monday, but I should have mentioned him again. He passed away a couple months ago. And we hosted a conference in the Sheraton Hotel there to announce that from the North Pole, a new season is dawning on the earth. We also did it in the nation's capital in America, which is the epicenter of governance in the earth, Washington, D.C. But when we went to Alaska, every session that I spoke at, it seemed like every demonic horde from hell hit me. My body would be tearing apart, literally. People don't know what we go through in these schools. Sometimes the sessions, the demonic activity. We don't bind them, we just ignore them now. But the presence sometimes is there. So, and the Lord told me that the witches of the north have come against you to stop this message. I had the same encounter in Kenya when I first went to Kenya. What was the President Moi? He appeared to me in a dream with the eyes of legions of demons in him. And when I looked at his eyes, I saw I saw the principality over the region. And he said to me, your message on the apostolic, it will destroy me and I will not let you to do it. I will kill you. That's when the next morning the bombs went off in Kenya, and the Lord told me, get out of the country. That's when I realized you're dealing with principalities. So when I was in Alaska, it was one of the toughest times releasing this message, one of the toughest times. I thought I would die. I would fall on my bed and I would be finished, like even during the school. I've had some tough days. And we finished the conference, and God allowed us to release the message. And as we were flying back, Sean was sitting next to me. The spirit of death hit me, and it hit Sean at the same time. I thought I was going to die on the aeroplane. And as it hit Sean, Sean told me, Thamo, I'm going. I said, hold on, Sean. Literally. And there was no turbulence. There's no threat on the plane. It was about 2 or 3 in the morning. And Sean went into depression for 3 months after that. Am I correct, Sean? 3 months. That's when I realized the activity of travel. Some people think we are tourists when we travel. If you ask me what I've seen in most countries, absolutely nothing. I just go preach and I come back. I don't play that tourist game. Unless my Roland is with me. Sometimes. Sometimes we very seldom take a holiday. That's when I realized what the Lord said. Apostles first. I wanted to do that. I didn't get a chance. And then when the prophets come,
they come after that to help cast a vision in the minds of the people that they can see what God wants to build. The prophetic gives you spectacles, gives you eyes, gives you sight to what the apostles are going to build with other fivefold ministers. That's what. And obviously, they also cast vision as to the definitive characteristic features that the church in each nation may have. Different mandates, different job descriptions, and they give that kind of direction. They help to define your motto, your purpose, your vision, your mission, etc. And that's how it works. I wanted to say that because this office, the office of the prophet, is so powerful. And it helps to make sure also that apostles who know their mandate, because they see, they have a synoptic view. That's a principle. They see the full house of how something must be built in a nation. They see it. That's why it's called master builder. It's an architecton. The architecture is very unique. But the prophets have to keep encouraging, keep bringing comfort, because it's a tough job. You know, if I don't receive words from these guys, and they send me words, and others send me words here from this house, I tell you, sometimes I want to throw in the towel. It gets tough. It gets tough. And yes, it gets tough for them also, because these guys got unique and strange personalities. They go into caves. Sometimes I want to call Sean. For 3 months, I can't get him. Where is he? He's in his cave, waiting on God. I think Kubus has got a little better now. Yeah. But depression, all that is very common with them. Loneliness. Feeling isolated, feeling there's not enough people there. But I think sometimes God has wired them to be like that, so that they can stay focused on just prayer, waiting on Him, and so forth, so that when they deliver a word, it's directly from God. Are you seeing a big picture here, a better picture of things? So it's a very exciting time. We're seeing the architecture of God, especially in the fivefold ministry, operating in a much better way than we have seen it in the past. And I'm so excited for that.
Thank you for listening to this message. To access more teachings, we invite you to visit us at thamonaidu.com. Or for any other information, please contact us at info@thamonaidu.com.